Okay, I think that's a go. Fritz Berger and bloodandfaith.com, 10 July 2020. Good morning, everybody. Wanted to talk about theocracy. And it's a great topic. And I know when people hear, that Fritz wants to have a Christian nation state, some people think, oh my God, he wants a theocracy where everybody's telling them what to do. So we need to address it. It's a valid question. And first of all, I want to say most people's understanding of a theocracy have been conditioned by the teachings of Antichrist educational systems, and it's usually in reference to the Puritans in the 1600s in New England. Great people, by the way. And they hear about the drownings of the witches, and you put the A for adultery on somebody's forehead. And it's been done, and it's in generations of Americans have been conditioned to be horrified by the idea that religious ideas can govern a society. And I've addressed that in many different ways. I've talked about how we already live in a religious society. I've talked about how the professors are the priests and prophets of this religious cult. And I've talked about how you really don't have the right to say and do what you want anyway. You can't be sexist, racist, homophobic, queerphobic, transphobic, Islamophobic, anti-Semitic, or divisive. We've talked about that stuff. You already live in a cult, and you've been so conditioned to it that you don't even know that you're not free. But to drill down, and again, I'm talking mostly to Christians here because I'm not worried about, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm not trying to convince the other side. So, theocracy. A theocracy, theo, is God. So technically, a theocracy is where God rules. Well, if you're a Christian, you ought to have some idea that God already rules. Whether or not people obey him is a different story. So that's not really what people are talking about. They're talking more about an ecclesiocracy, which is, ecclesia is the church. So the church ruling. And they think about the big stern man in a black robe with a pointed nose pointing his finger down at you saying you must do this and you must do that and you can't do this and you can't do that. And you can't have any fun. And it's a valid question when you talk about this. And that's the caricature that the educational system has put in the minds of Americans for generations. And that's not what I want. Has nothing to do with what I want. Has nothing to do with how I envision things. First of all, we've got to talk about government. What is government? People look to the idea of, well, what kind of government is there going to be? And I think I mentioned this here a few podcasts ago. When you destroy a certain order, if you destroy, say, the Constitution of the United States, there are vastly more ancient governing structures waiting, more natural, more God-given. If you destroy the government of the United States, whatever that is, you're not going to lack for government. The first government is the man alone. And he is called to govern himself. He's called to govern his passions. He's called to provide for himself. That's the first government right there. So you can take away, you know, Congress and the courts and the Bill of Rights and the State House and the U.S. Code, and you still have men who are the primary form of government. And that man should avoid evil and do good and provide for himself. The second level of government is the family. And you have a man who governs his family. He has his wife, he has his children, and he governs his wife and his children. He raises them up and he teaches them the way that they ought to go. And he provides for them. That's the foundational government. And if you don't have that straight, everything above that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whatsoever. You can't have a man in a black robe pointing down at you with his finger and telling you what to do. When has that ever worked? And so why do you build this straw man and say, we don't want that? It's never been that way. It never will be that way. You've got men will govern themselves and men will govern their families. That's foundational. And if all you did is that, you don't need a level of government on top of that. And that man ought to raise his children in the fear of God, teach them the Ten Commandments, read through the Proverbs, live an honorable, godly life. And if every family did that, all that other stuff doesn't matter. It does not matter. It becomes almost a moot point. And if you have an entire, you know, millions of people, say, millions of people of God-fearing men and women, and they're raising their children in the fear of the Lord, as they should, what need is there of all these multiple layers of government on top of that? That's what we're talking about. And as men gather, together with their families, if those men choose to so organize themselves, and men do, you don't need a constitution to organize yourself as men and have leadership. You don't. You go out with a group of men, get 5, 10, 15 men together, and they sort themselves out into leaders and followers. It's just very natural. It's like a pack of dogs. You're going to have the big dog, and you're going to have the little yappies. And somebody's going to be in charge, and it's acknowledged. You don't have to force people to. The dog that doesn't want to run with a pack, he doesn't have to run with a pack. He can go his own way. And so when you get a group of men together, some men will be the leaders. Some men will be the influencers. A lot more men will be the supporters and the followers, as it ought to be. Not everybody can be the leader. That is government. That's called government. And so if you had 20 families that settled in an area, they are going to get together and they're going to work out what's good in their common interest. You don't need this overarching structure that people presume a government to be. There's no biblical need for that. And as those groups of 10 or 20 families associate with other groups of 10 or 20 families, they're going to develop ways to communicate with each other and to discuss things and to come up with common avenues of attack should it be necessary to solve common problems. This is how men govern themselves. You don't need this overarching structure that we're used to having over the last, I don't know, couple hundred years. 100 years especially in the last 100 years in the United States, where you've got these, you know, the government becomes, you know, not only big bro, but big mama. Cradle to grave, security is not the right word, but it's cradle to grave governance over everything you do, everything you say, everything you want. So if you don't like the idea of somebody telling you what to do, what to think, and how to live your life, why do you submit to the government we're under today? You free thinker, you. Why do you live under a government that tells you what to say, what you can't say? If you don't say, I support Black Lives Matter, somebody's going to come after you. You know that. If you say, I'm for White Lives Matter, they're going to call you the racist. And you're blaming the Puritans? You're getting on the case of the Puritans? What a deceptive web we weave. How deceived we are. You can't go anywhere on a college campus and say the things I'm saying without getting run out by with a pitchfork and fire and knives and bricks and violence. And you live in a free country? You can do what you want to do? Yeah, go tell them that you're a man, you're a straight white Christian male, and you govern your family, and you're the head of your household. And that's the way you're going to raise your sons and your daughters. Go see how acceptable that idea is in the universities, which are the religious institutions of this Antichrist culture that we now live in. Don't tell me you can do what you want in the United States or in Europe. We've abandoned Christianity. We abandoned the gentle yoke of Jesus Christ, and we've forged yokes of iron for ourselves. We forged yokes of iron. And we're beaten down, and we think we're free? We think we can do what we want to do? Check your paycheck lately. See how much money's coming out of taxes? Where does that go? We have more people in prison per capita than any other country on the world. We're a free country? Oh, boy. You go work for a Fortune 500 company or the state government or the city government or the national government or anything. What you got? You got the EEO laws, what you can say and what you can't say. Who you can hire. You got the quotas in there. Of course, they say there's no quotas. But if you don't got the right mix of people, then somebody's going to sue you. And you got people like Jesse Jackson that'll do the shakedown. Got the big shakedown going on because he can blackmail you and put the squeeze on your organization. So don't tell me we live in a free country. Don't tell me that we live in an open and tolerant culture. We don't. We don't. You're just as free to, as long as you parrot the leftist line, and that line is getting harsher and harsher and harsher, and the ability to speak outside of their boundaries is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And that's why you can have Hillary Clinton refer to the deplorables and Joe Biden the irredeemables that have to be dealt with. I'm talking about men and women who raise their families in the fear of God. And to the degree that they take care of that at the lowest level, there's no reason for government at a higher level than that. Sounds a lot like libertarianism, I know, but it's not. It's a Christian worldview. We need to form our families and associate with other families of like values. And we need to figure out, you know, what piece of dirt we're going to have for ourselves. And we're going to make sure that within our territories, that the public expressions of what is good and right and true and what is evil and wrong and false are reflections of what we find in the Hebrew and Greek scriptures. And all the structure above that just doesn't matter anymore. So I hope that helps you a little bit understanding this false notion of a theocracy that's been implanted in our minds through the Antichrist educational systems over the generations. You know, if a man that governs himself and governs his family and associates with other like families, they don't have a need for a big brother or a big mama to tell them what to do and provide for them. And you know what I offer is indeed liberty. It's liberty. It's a grand liberty. But the source of that is Jesus Christ. And it's honoring him with our lives, with our children, and honoring his word. And let me just break. Let me go a little bit back to what I was talking about yesterday. Things are changing in the United States, 2020. Again, this is Fritz Berggren, bloodandfaith.com, 10 July 2020. But there's still a lot of talk about, you know, we need our Constitution and our conservative values to make America great again or whatever. And I'm not saying that those are bad things at all. But what I've seen is a shift to a more, a greater willingness amongst Christians to talk about serving Jesus Christ. And to me, that's very encouraging. I mean, you know, the people that I remember a couple of years ago, they would sort of hint around it, beat around the bush about it, and they've just become more open about it because people are understanding, we're all understanding that, you know, the knife's come down. The squishy middle's gone. And it's Jesus Christ or it's not Jesus Christ. It's Christ or it's Antichrist. And there's, you know, And I'm part of the, have been part of the problem too. You want an order where everybody can just get along in. Everybody can just do their own thing and get along. And the great historical experiment that we call the United States of America has proven that that's just not possible. It's not possible that everybody can do what they want. And people are understanding that if it's either Jesus Christ or it's Antichrist. And that's what I offer you. It's Jesus Christ or it's Antichrist. Stop looking for a third way. There's no third way. It's Jesus Christ or it's Antichrist. So let's build Christian nation states. I'd love to see Christian nation states around the world. It doesn't just have to be in my portion of North America. How about a country called El Salvador, the Savior, abandoning all the nonsense that they've been taught over the generations and returning to Jesus Christ? Now, it'll be a fight. I mean, you've got devil worshipers down there, MS-13, sold out to Lucifer himself. And when I say a fight, I do mean a fight. You're going to have to deal with that stuff. Mexico the same way. You know, they've got the cartels that have sold out to El Diablo too. And, you know, it does come down to blood and faith. Not because I want it to, it just does. Let's talk about violence. Let's go back to violence. People say, oh, you know, be a good Christian and don't be violent. I don't know. I don't know what you're thinking. Jesus Christ made a whip. He hand-quartered a whip out of leather. And he went in there and he beat the Jews and drove them out of the temple and said, stop selling stuff in my Father's house. It's supposed to be a house of prayer for all the ethnic groups, all the nations. And when it was his time to die, he didn't shy back from the concept of violence. He told his men, he said, get some swords. What's a sword for? It's not for pruning pears. It's not for pitting olives. Okay, it's not to go elk hunting with. You get a sword to skewer a man in the belly. So Jesus Christ didn't shy back from the concept of violence. Now, when it came right down to it, and they were at the Garden of Gethsemane, old Peter, man, he was ready, willing, and able. Took a hack at some dude's head, missed, and chopped his ear off. And Jesus explained to him, he said, listen, man, he says, it's good. He says, I'm giving them permission, essentially, to murder me. Because it's the blood of Jesus Christ that is for the forgiveness of sins. So it wasn't the goal was not to be a pacifist and show off the pacifistic morality of Jesus Christ. No, Jesus Christ's goal was to be a blood sacrifice. A blood sacrifice. How's that for your pacifism? A human blood sacrifice. And it was the blood of Jesus Christ that pays for the sins. And this Jesus Christ is the captain of the Lord's host, the captain of the Lord's armies. You know, David was the man after God's own heart. He's the guy that killed 200 Philistines, cut their foreskins off, and gave that as a bride price to King Saul for King Saul's daughter. Man after God's own heart. So, you know, I know y'all were raised in this idea of a squishy, rainbow-colored, candy-cotton Christianity that's, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but it's no good. It's worthless. And the worthlessness has been proved by the lack of fruit in the country where there's probably more churches than anywhere in the United States. I don't know that the fruit that we have, I don't know that there's any good lasting fruit there from the way the churches have so retreated into a corner. But now it's survival time. People are waking up. Christians are waking up and they're saying, you know what? That gray area is gone. That gray area is gone. There's no room for it anymore. And you see that. You see, even if you're not a Christian, you see that. It's no longer good enough to say, you know what? I'm just going to stay out of this. You've seen the signs. White silence equals violence. So they're signaling, it's not enough for you just to live your life and do your own thing. You have to be part of the global cult. You got to join their cult. You got to bow down and kiss the feet of the ones who would enslave you in order to be accepted by them. And just enough of us have woken up and realized that there is no point at which it'll be enough. There's no point at which the left will say, okay, it's enough. It's good now. You go do your little Christian thing. And we got to rest. There's no point. And historically, there has never been a point where it's good enough in the history of atheism since the French Enlightenment. We've seen the Russian Revolution. We've seen Mao. We've seen the French Revolution. We've seen the Cuban Revolution. We've seen Pol Pot. We've seen all these things. This is just another iteration of it. And if you're not going to have that, well, you see what happens with Islam. They're driving the Christians out of Africa as quickly as they can, killing them or forced conversions. So there you go, guys. There you go. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com, 10 July 2020.